Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and welcome to Read You Later, a fun, captivating show that discusses the best in arts, entertainment, and community activism. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have two women that are definitely on the move. They're on fire, and they are promoting kingdom business. I am so excited to have them and engage in a very lively discussion. But before we begin our discussion, I know that a lot is going on in the world since the last time I've aired. But I want you to remember, do not let all of this make you give up your joy. Keep your joy, keep your purpose, and keep your destiny. And I'll be remiss if I did not mention the wonderful event that I have scheduled this week in Durham, North Carolina, August the 25th and the 26th, Lights, Camera, Action. Friday is our famous Girls Night Out. I'm pretty much sold out on Girls Night Out. I do have maybe one or two spots left. So if you're interested, please hit me up via Gmail at readingyoulater @gmail.com or inbox me on Twitter at readyoulater or Facebook under LaShira Lee. And also we have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lights, Camera, Action Arts Festival scheduled at Durham Southwest Library in Durham, North Carolina. That was from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. on August the 26th. I have the iconic Brenda Jackson and Sabrina Jeffries. Also, we have AC author, Iris Bowling, Deborah Mello, Vanessa Miller, Jacqueline Thomas, Tony Clover Johnson, J.J. Mary, Nakia Cherie, LaJill Hunt, Venice Capers, and Lena Anderson. We have panels. Of course, you know I like to talk, so I am the moderator for all panels. We have Transform Your Mind. We also have Romance Across Genres. We have a wonderful woman, women in film panel, because four of our panelists are also women who direct, produce, write, and star in film. So we will be filming, we'll be screening a documentary and one episode of The Heart. And we will also have a Q&A. I have two awesome, wonderful literary agents, Latoya Smith from the Perkins Agency in New York and Stephanie Phillips from SBR Media. They will be taking your pitches, and these women are no joke. If you don't know them, Google. Latoya has worked on some of the most projects from Terry Woods to Rochelle Ehlers. I know a couple of her authors won awards this year, and we also have our wonderful book signing. Friday is free. Did you hear me? Free. I also have bags donated from RT Convention. First come, first serve. I only have 80 bags, and we do have a few giveaways. So please come out and enjoy the festivity. And you're interested on Girls Night Out, I have two tickets left. First come, first serve. But I won't us to dig into our wonderful program tonight. We have two wonderful women who are not only engaging and interesting in their own right, but they are encouraging and inspirational. So I want to bring on air these two women, and I want to introduce them. First, we have Dr. Shakina Farmore, and we have Sherlyn Bennett. Welcome to Read You Later, ladies. How are you doing?
Yes. Yes, thank you for having me. I'm doing well. Awesome. This is Sherlyn.
And this is Dr. Sherlyn. Thank you.
Hi, ladies. And you know what? I went on hiatus this summer because I do 100 million things, and sometimes you got to regroup and try to kind of take care of yourself. And this is the first show that I've aired in the last 5 weeks, and it's wonderful to have two women who are inspirational and encouraging and are always giving back to their communities. So I'm going to start with Dr. Moore. Dr. Moore, what do you see is needed for women in not only ministry, but women in the community for them to reach their purpose? What do you think is one hindrance?
Well, honestly, the biggest hindrance I see, and this is not just from a womanhood standpoint, but even as a girl, I can reflect back and look back over my life and just recall thinking, wow, I wish women worked together more, you know, with a spirit of collaboration.
Collaboration.
And I believe we're bred with this, you know, competitive spirit, and it hinders us in many ways.
Now, Sherlyn Bennett, I know just looking at your media kit that you believe in SAFE and you believe in reaching out and mentoring. What do you feel is perhaps one of the greatest hindrances for women as far as reaching their purpose?
Reaching their purpose, I think that what I found that I battle with is being okay with celebrating yourself when you have those victories, when you have those successes. And I think it goes hand in hand with what Dr. Moore said, is that, you know, when you have an environment of jealousy or envy, and where there's a competition, when women feel that they're pitted against one another, if you're in that environment and if that is your mindset, you're not going to be able to soar. And so I definitely feel that first we have to believe in ourselves, that they're wonderful, that we're great, and we can celebrate us without any other applause. So as long as a woman understands how wonderful she is without the applause, I think that she'll be fine when she's launching out on her own. So I think one of those things is self-celebration. It's okay. Sometimes we're made to feel bad for celebrating who we are and what we've done. But I think that we need to continue to celebrate ourselves first, you know, and just be glad about what God is doing in our own lives. And then we can support other women.
Amen. Now, Dr. Moore, you are known for your coaching, and you are known for being a gender advocate. Now, can you tell us what is gender advocacy for people who perhaps are not fully clear of the purpose or the vision of being a gender advocate?
Absolutely. So when you think gender advocacy, it's all about propelling and advancing women and girls. And so my life work has literally focused on the advancement of women and girls. I can recall being a high school student, and I was already speaking out against gender oppression and disempowerment. And that was way back in 1992 when I published my first article blocking out the gender gap. And it was an article about a friend and a teammate of mine who tried out for the football team. She was the only female on the football team, and it was so out of the box. That was back in the early 90s. And she just shattered a glass ceiling. And I just remember thinking at that point, like, this is what I want to do. I'm tired of, and I grew up in church culture too, and so I can relate to a lot of what Sherlyn was saying. But, you know, just always having to feel like we're less than. And it's not so much, you know, that we want to, and a lot of people confuse this, compare ourselves or be men. It's just that we want equal access. We want equal pay for the same work. You know, we want to be able to have a voice and not have to pander to, oh, well, you're supposed to be nice. You're not supposed to be loud. You're supposed to stay in your place. So all of these things that, you know, that really get on my nerves is what I do. I advocate. We had a campaign recently at the Georgia State Capitol even where we were advocating for girls, just going against girl-on-girl violence. And so we take on issues that impact girls, and we also produce events and outside of the campaign where, you know, girls can come together. We have what's called ZoomCon, and we bring women from all walks of life with expertise in various fields and industries to pour into our girls so they don't have to start from ground zero, and so that they can begin to take on leadership as a norm. And we just break down so many barriers, even at that level, that I'm really proud of.
And just to piggyback on that, as an educator, I often see where young girls shy away from STEM, anything dealing with math and science or or engineering or robotics. And often I feel that these young ladies already have a stereotypical misconception that girls and women do not have a place just in those fields. And even if they have an interest, they feel that they won't be accepted, or they will be ridiculed, they will be looked upon a certain way. So I applaud you for your efforts, because I think it is very important. And something you mentioned about we want equal access. It's not that we want to step on anybody's toes. It's not that we want to be men, but we want equal access. And we want our girls. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and, you know, she's already an author, but, you know, you want her to have equal access to anything that she wants to become. And we saw that in our last presidential election, that even a lot of women did not vote for Hillary Clinton, and perhaps it may not have been so much the politics, but I heard women say that, I don't believe a woman can be president. So we have a lot of deprogramming to do among ourselves as women. And I know that Minister Bennett also deals a lot with kingdom building and empowering women and female entrepreneurs. And I read that you're the founder of Leap, Branding by Faith. Girl, you know, that's a cool title right there, Branding by Faith. So what really galvanized you? I know you're passionate, because I can hear it in both of your voices, but what, Sherlene Bennett, what galvanized you to want to found a company and do all these workshops to encourage women and branding by faith and collaborating with other women about entrepreneurial spirit and other things? Was it what you saw a lack in the community, or is it something that you felt that all this zeal and passion that you had to somewhat be on the front line of doing this?
I will say, to be honest, the passion came later, but one thing that I went through this year was a transformation myself. The Lord took me through that, and I launched my company officially this year, but I've been working on my own as an entrepreneur for about 3 years, and so I thank God that I got the opportunity this year to actually own an agency. And I realized that 95% of my clients were women. And that also, I was so blessed by that, because I don't really have to do a lot of advertising, because women send other women to me. And how Leap was born. Yes, it's so wonderful. And I didn't understand then how wonderful it was until the Lord began to reveal it to me. And Leap was born because women would call me and say, how do you build a brand? How do you do this? How did you do it? And I thought, I told my administrator, I said, listen, we have to get my accountant and my attorney in one room so that I don't have to continue to answer the questions. And I had no idea that God was birthing this Leap brand. But and I asked the Lord, you know, what's going to be different about Leap? What's the difference? You know, there are a lot of entrepreneurial workshops and movements out there. And God says that you're going to teach women how to bring their faith into the marketplace. They're going to be marketplace ministers. Oh. They're not going to leave their faith behind, because people feel that faith should be left outside of the corporate world and we shouldn't bring our faith with us. And the reason why we need to bring our faith with us is because kingdom women have no business looking raggedy in the marketplace. If you say you work, represent God, then you need to have an air of excellence about you in everything you do, from their logo to your business card to your flyer. So that's where I come in. I teach women to leap and brand by faith. I know that it's going to cost you to brand, but also if you believe in the vision that God has given you, it's going to be a great experience, and it's going to make your business successful. I always tell my mentees, and I know a few of them are listening tonight, is that good branding produces revenue and awareness. And so that's what Leap is about. We're getting those people together that can help a woman leap, empower her spiritually. I would never leave the faith component out of Leap, because it is all about us taking God with us, taking over the marketplace, and branding like we mean it. And so the passion developed, I would say. The women that attended the first Leap, they were the ones that made me understand what God had birthed in the Leap movement. And so the passion is there now because I understand the importance of it and how we're supposed to pull together faith and our business and do it with a kingdom mindset of excellence. And so, yeah, the passion is there now for sure. And so I'm really grateful for the LEAP movement. I really am.
And I think that's so important because often as women, and often as African-American women especially, we get a bad rap or a bad name. People often say, I know we've all heard it, that, oh, you can't patronize African-American business. And I've heard African-American entrepreneurs and women of color say that. And I was like, how can you speak those words when you have a business?
Yes.
And it all goes back to what Dr. Moore had said earlier about collaboration and not competing and wanting to assist and to hold each other up. And that's a good segue into what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about your books and your business. Because let me tell you, you ladies are on fire. I really, and if I had known about you earlier, I would invite you to my event this weekend on my Transform Your Mind panel. But you ladies are on fire. So, Dr. Moore, let's start with you. Let's talk about your new book project. Now, can you tell my listeners the title of your book?
Absolutely. The new book is called Black Girls Here. Black Girls Here.
Oh, wow.
And it's all of, it's a very provocative
title,
right?
You said a mouthful right there. Yeah, girl, you said a mouthful right there. Look, you had me at Black Girls. Okay, go ahead on. Now, can you share with my listeners some of what, we don't want to give everything away, but what they can find in the book and how the book can perhaps help them spiritually, socially, and even economically.
Well, Black Girls Here is an anthology, and so what your readers will be able to, your listeners and my readers will be able to discover is that they have experiences that mirror a lot of the experiences from the authors in this book. There are things we just don't talk about that sometimes I feel if we talked about them more and shared our experiences, just being a Black woman, just being a Black girl, that we could give not only perspective, but we could help some women have peace and understand that it's not just you. You're not on this island and you're experiencing it all by yourself. And so we can frame some conversations and help, you know, heal women who have really been hurt. So the book is based on racial and gender identity and how they intersect. Because a lot of times we talk about gender or we talk about race, but it's very rare that we talk about that intersectionality and how they work together to cause challenges, Black women, not just women and not just Black people.
It's true.
So we ask someone who has ever experienced being judged or punished more harshly for your identical makeup, you know, more so than an infraction that would have been the same infraction that would have been incurred by a white counterpart, for example. Have you ever been told you're too aggressive, too loud, too sassy? You know, have you ever had someone expect you not to be smart just because you're a Black woman? So we talk about race and gender intersection and the influences that they have on how we're treated in society day to day. And I really believe that this project is blessed. Women are going to be blessed spiritually, economically, socially. You can't help but not to, because when you think about wholeness and from a holistic approach, when something's out of whack, when something's out of sync, it troubles you. You know, I can recall being a young, because I was highly educated as a young person. I had a lot going on for myself as a young person. And I just recall hitting this wall, and I couldn't figure out what it was. I didn't have the words to articulate what it was, and I didn't have peace. It was affecting me on so many levels. And I'm just thinking now, as a woman who's now just into her 40s, wow, if I had been equipped with this information back when I was, you know, 25 years old with a master's degree, newly married, doing things, you know, I'm rolling around, you know, you at that age, you think you fly,
well,
you got
a
four-bedroom house, a Mercedes, you're highly educated, you got a, you know, position where you got employees under you, you know, you think you're doing something, and you really are, but it's like you hit these walls and you don't have the conversations, you don't have the mentors in your life that can help you navigate situations. And so I'm just looking forward to hearing about how so many women are blessed and able to navigate their careers, who are able to just have peace in their homes because they have now a model, and many models, actually, because the stories that have been pouring in, oh, my God, they just bless me, just living vicariously through the other members of, like, characters, these co-authors. So really excited. Black Girls Here, you can find it at b2fgirls.org.
Now, you really touched on a lot of deep-rooted issues and some issues that we don't like to talk about or discuss because a lot of times, depending on your age and even where you were born, people were like, don't discuss that. We don't discuss that out in public. Just deal with it. And all of this dealing with it is causing a lot of women of color to have anger issues and even mental health challenges because they're not dealing with it. And we're just accepting it. And it's like a generational curse, you know, when we teach our daughters and teach our sons to also accept it. And, you know, and I often tell my students of color, don't let anyone clip your wings. Something that my grandmother always shared with me. And, baby, don't let anyone clip your wings. Because often that African-American student who is very smart or shows a lot of promise is characterized as being know-it-all, sassy, mouthy, when they are just trying to get their point across, or they may see a mistake, or they may have a different point of view. They're not noted as being inquisitive, you know. So you are right on point with everything you are saying, Dr. Moore. So on point. And being an educator, and over the years I've been able to see and discern and observe a lot of different scenarios. So you are really on point. Now, Sherlyn Bennett, I know that you have something that you want to share with us. So let's talk about your new project and how we can support. So can you first begin by telling us the title of your project?
Well, I'm working on the LEAP book right now. I have a book out currently, but right now we're working on the new LEAP book to be released next year. But the book I have right now that is out is called It's Time for a Village Meeting, Awakening Moms Reclaiming Our Girls. And this book was birthed out of me traveling, doing girl conferences with my first brand, which was Spiritual Sweets. And we would do conferences for girls. And the last conference that we did in Tampa, Florida, the Lord had told me to come off the road, which I wasn't happy about, but apparently he was going to birth this book. And so the last time we were in Tampa, and I was praying for about 50 young ladies, and we had them in a line, and there was a little tot there, about 4 years old, and she would come around to the prayer line. She just kept coming around, and finally, you know, I bent down and asked her what was wrong, and she said that she was afraid that bad things were happening at her house, and the police was there. And so after that time, it was very emotional for all of us in the room. And even the other girls began to cry. But about 2 weeks later, I still couldn't get this little one out of my mind. And I told the Lord, I said, you know, what are we going to do? And he said, we're going to write a book. You're going to write a book. And I said, okay, good. I'll write a book for girls. And he said, no, you're going to write a book for moms because a broken mom can't raise a healthy girl. And he says, you know, most girls are the walking representation of mom's brokenness. And so this book has touched many lives. I've had a few book signings, and even my own mother called me when she read the book, and she said, listen, I have some things I need to apologize to you for, because the book really forces mom to take her seat at the village meeting, because we have allowed the world to raise our daughters, and then we're upset with them about the result of that. And so a lot of my friends, I had no idea that they had these issues with their mom. Some of them said, you know, I'm 40 years old, and I remember my mom never really giving me time, but she would give me things. And so those things really do affect girls when they're young. And if it's not taken care of, then it's going to become generational, and that's what you see. And so the book kind of forces mom to take a look, right, and find out what ails her so that she can heal, so that she can then raise a healthy girl. Because if she does not heal herself generations down, you're still going to see that brokenness walking around in her granddaughters, in her great-granddaughters. And so I don't have daughters. I have two amazing sons, but the Lord wrote the book. It's very gentle, maybe not as forceful as I would have been. We address things in there like mom, you know, not putting the boyfriend before their daughters or not making their daughters their best friends because daughters don't have the capacity to be your best friend. Emotionally, that's not where she belongs. And so it's just a book that kind of forces mom to come back and take her seat in the village meeting. You know, it stems from the African proverb that it takes a village, and that just means that all of us, from educators like yourself, from people like Dr. Moore, from, you know, pastors, for community leaders, we all have a part to play when it comes to raising, in particular, our daughters. And so I'm very proud of the Village book, and now I'm working on the Leap book, which I'm proud of as well.
And you touched on a lot of important topics as well, because what I found as an educator, and often, like I don't feel like I'm that old, but this year, some of the students that I am serving in certain classrooms, I remember their parents when they were in middle school, and I often find out that some parents don't have tools. They don't have the tools because what they're doing, they're listening to their friends, and they are also being besieged by social media or any type of media platforms and so much information, you know, about what they should do and how they should do this. So there's a lot of confusion when it comes to child rearing, and people don't use that practical knowledge. And they do use other tools such as television and other things of that nature for babysitting purposes. So that connect and getting back to basics is so, so important. And you know what? Our time is almost up, and I feel like I have just been on the air with you ladies for maybe a minute or two. So I'm going to start with Dr. Moore because I want people to be able to connect with you. So, Dr. Moore, how can my listeners connect with you on social media?
Sure. I can be found on Facebook at Dr. Shatina Moore, Instagram at Blossophere, Twitter, Blossophere. And what else is out there, y'all? But if you Google my name, you should be able to find me pretty much anywhere. Dr. Shatina Farmore.
And Dr. Moore has a lot of books. So if you are a school counselor, if you're a book club, I know I have a lot of book club presidents and bloggers listening to my show. If you want a book that will encourage, uplift, and also give you a lot of knowledge, I recommend that you go to her website, Google her, and find out information, and perhaps you would like to Skype or invite her to your book club meeting or event. Now, Shirlene, how can we connect with you via social media?
Yes, you can find me on social media at Sherilyn Michelle Bennett, and then my creative agency, Camden Lane Creative Agency, on Instagram and Facebook, and on Twitter, I'm at Sherilyn Bennett.
Awesome. Well, ladies, it has been a delight to talk to both of you. I really enjoy what you stand for, and I wish you blessings. And from my house to yours, I want to let everyone know that you are walking in victory. You're not walking in defeat. And regardless of what the world say, you are blessed. So until we meet again next week, we have New York Times bestselling author Jen Mann, and we may have a return of the author from the Shack this fall. So from my house to yours, read you later. Stay blessed and have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome.